I thought that was the Dallas one, because I just got a tape from one of the people in Dallas, and it has a whole bunch of simulator on it. And it's got
those are counterfeit.
It's got a I should have known.
Which is, of course, is just as valid as the real thing.
And usually more valuable.
Right.
Yeah.
And easier to manipulate and duplicate.
That's for sure.
Yeah, like duplicate.
Those are neat sound effects you have behind you there. Where'd you get that baby one? We just use record babies.
Well, sometimes we use Mahlo babies.
Well, I've got this baby here is still holding a gun on me.
Well, we've got 3 minutes left in the official show. Maybe you could close the show for us, Dr. Filer.
My own home.
Okay, well, if you could, before you get killed, give us a little goodbye.
Yeah,
all of Northern and Central California is waiting with bated breath as they're all in the Bay Bridge stop now, listening, waiting,
putting anchovies in their mouths.
We want your blessing and your benediction.
And they want to get that bait out of their mouths.
I'm sorry.
The number you have reached is not the overman.
To use another gratuitous.
Be sure you are dialing the correct number.
Look, they make him talk about the tapes too.
Well, and say goodbye to California, Philo. Right. We'll get you on line number 7.
Celebrations.
On the false show of false slack.
Yeah, you hold on after the midnight hour here.
Personality bypass.
I want to talk to you for a minute as the show gets dimmer and dimmer.
Well, that's not what the toad wanted you.
Yes, sir, this gentleman has a proposition for you. It'll curl your hair.
Curl your short hair, huh?
Yeah, that's right. It'll make the bristles in the back of your neck pop up like a razorback hog when you hear what this fella's got to say.
Cowboy's here now.
Yeah.
Yeehaw!
It's a rabbit.
That's why a real cowboy always chews bazooka bubblegum.
So bye-bye, Philo.
Oh,
bye-bye.
Last week as we drove away, Emma played Indian music. And boy, did I feel at home because I spent all summer on the Navajo Reservation. And to hear about little ghosts dancing in front of my eyes.
Oh, yes, the ghost dancing.
Sure made things
easier. Only 2.5 inches tall.
Those Indians,
Au revoir, my friends. Goodbye. Until the next time. Farewell.
Hasta bene, Fuji.
Okay. Goodbye, everybody.
Is it over?
Yes, it's over, but you are not.
Yes, but the show's not over.
We're still
almost,
on.
Almost
there's,
over.
There are all kinds of confusing factors.
Too many false listeners.
Well, not really, but it's almost over. It's almost over. Then we're going to fold it up and put it away because even Dr. Hal's given up. And the little callers have given up. And everybody's given up.
Hey, thing.
Hey, I struggled so hard to get out of bed. I struggled. And believe me, it was just so, those callers. Just so.
We must have been on the same wavelength.
Yeah, 94.1.
Yes, those callers.
It
would never be answered.
We're making special on the radio because you're nice.
Yeah, then suddenly I drove the love truck across Berkeley. And as I was flying down Shattuck Avenue, 50 miles an hour, passing policemen and slamming on my brakes, I thought of you, the dear callers that ruin our show. Yes. Well, we're not answering the phone tonight, except for a 10-minute section.
It is. Come on, don't confuse me. You're going to be listening on the radio. Probably two people crashed right now as you said that, thinking, I'm late. Crash.
So there they all were, the show. Gathering the living room. Little Mobius, the mighty
leap up.
That's okay.
Or my name, Puzzling Evidence.
Yes, and my name isn't Dr. Hal Rubin.
We're going to try.
Stay down.
It's going to be real funny because
you're here. That's a helium.
You're nice.
I don't understand why our own church says these things are trying to kill us on our own show.
No, I know you're calling all the way from
I'm going to go join the party.
Oh, there's a party out there. All right, well, I guess I have to ramp here.
Tell them to bring a little party to me.
A lifetime.
Oh, this means.
I was just telling them.
Rock it away.
Don't.
Rock it away.
Yeah. Yes. Great colors.
Looks like Dallas to me.
Yeah, looks like Dallas out there.
Captain, stop the rocket!
There.
That's my wall.
That was easy.
Oh, that was a lot easier than talking.
How do I know?
Let's ease into this slowly.
That's the way it is.
Doug, you walk in here, you got a face on your head.
Mix and mold the mystic mud.
In this world, that's the one we can have. Laugh, laugh, laugh.
Even though your heart is breaking, yeah, laugh, pushing
buttons, long and to keep
laugh.
Whoa, whoa, from your sleep, for one.
That's right.
You kept me from mine. Why shouldn't I keep you from yours?
Philo kept me from theirs.
Oh, that's right. Philo is Vanity 6 now.
No. No, he's a 2,000 billion doctors or something, because they were... I got a tape from him today, and they're just talking and talking and talking.
Is that the Watch Out for Gary of Volume 6?
No, that was just one album. They didn't pursue that idea very long.
Wasn't that Watch Out for Goofy?
Well, I thought.
Well, okay.
I never.
For Dr. Gabrofan, fan, we had to put on one song by his favorite band from a long time ago, and they are...
The Roman...
Bye.
There is a beast in the sea, which we call a sera, and it has enormous fins. When this monster sees a ship sailing on the sea, it erects its wings and tries to outfly the ship up to about 200 yards. Then it cannot keep up the effort, so it folds up its fins and draws them in, after which, bored by being out of the water, it dives back into the ocean. Most of the authorities, quoted by Aldrovandus, identify the sera with the sawfish, but surely this is a plain description of the flying fish, one might equally think. This peculiar animal is exactly like human beings today. Naturally, the ship symbolizes the righteous, who sail through the squalls and tempests of this world without danger of shipwreck in their faith. The sera, on the contrary, is the monster which could not keep up with the righteous ship. It symbolizes the people who start off trying to devote themselves to good works, but afterwards, not keeping it up, they get vanquished by various kinds of nasty habits, and undependable as the to-fro waves of the sea, they drive down to hell. You do not get anywhere by starting. You get there by pressing on. What human love can compare with the compassion of fishes? For us, the kisses of the mouth are enough. For them, it is not too much to open their whole insides for the reception of their children, to bring them out again, unharmed, to reanimate them, as it were, with the warmth of their own heat, to revive them with their own spirit, and for two to live in one body. So they go on until they have either cheered the babies up or defended them from dangers by interposing their own bulk. What person, on seeing these things and being able to prove them, must not give pride of place to the wonderful piety of fishes? Who is not amazed and astonished that nature should exhibit in them what she does not exhibit in us men? For lots of human mothers, driven to distrust by malevolent hatreds, kill their own offspring. Others of bad repute, as we have read, have actually eaten up their young, so that the mother has become the grave of her human children. The inside of the mama fish, on the contrary, is a wall with ramparts to the babes, in which she preserves the child undisturbed in her innermost organs. Well, different species of fish have different customs. Some produce eggs, others bring forth formed and living young. Those who lay eggs do not build nests as birds do, nor do they engage in the lengthy labor of hatching eggs, nor do they trouble to feed them. The egg is simply dropped, because water, like a pleasant wet nurse, brings it up by her own nature, in her bosom, as it were, and vivifies it into an animal by rapid incubation. Animated by a touch of its parent, the ocean, the egg finally falls apart, and a fish comes out. How pure and unsullied is the succession among fishes, consequently, where none is crossbred except with a member of its own race. They are indeed ignorant of adulterous contacts with strange fish, unlike those of us who go in for adultery. Before the intervention of men, The great clans of donkeys and horses continued uninterruptedly among themselves, but now, on the contrary, donkeys are crossed with horses, bastardizing nature. This is certainly a greater sin than mere fornication, because it is committed contrary to nature. It injures natural affinity, apart from the injury in respect of the person. You, O man, manage these things like a pander to adulterous horses, and you think the new animal valuable more because it is counterfeit than because it is genuine. You mix up strange species. You mingle opposite semen and frequently collect together the unwilling victims to a forbidden coitus, and you call this husbandry. Because you are not able to do this with men themselves, inasmuch as human offspring cannot mix with contrary species, you think of another thing to do. You take away what a man is born with and remove his manhood, and cutting off part of his body, you destroy sex to create an eunuch. So what nature did not produce among men, your shamelessness produces. What would good Mother Water say to all this? Man, you have taught children the renunciation of their fathers. You have taught them separations, hatreds, and enmity. Now learn what the relationship of parents and children could be. Fishes do not seek to live without water, to be separated from the fellowship of their parents, to be parted from the nourishment of the mother. It is their nature that, if separated from the sea, they die immediately. Now, what can we say about the bigness of fish teeth? They do not have large teeth in one part of the mouth like sheep and oxen, but each jaw is equipped with teeth of various size all along. If they chewed their food for a long time and did not quickly dispatch it, the food could take itself off and be washed away from the mouth by the current of water. For this reason, they have strong and sharp incisors so that they can cut quickly and easily finish the food, dispatching it without delay. In short, they do not ruminate. Oh, watery citizens, what umpire bounded your liquid livings? Oh, what monarch bounded with walls your city? What severest law keeps your huge armies in so certain awe that you encroach not on the neighboring borders of your swim brethren? What learned Chalde, skilled in fortune-telling, what cunning prophet your fit time doth show? What herald's trumpet summons you to go? What guide conducteth day and night your legions through pathless paths in unacquainted regions? Surely the same that made you first of naught, who in your nature some ideas wrought of good and evil, in the end that we, following the good, might from the evil flee.
So here we go. I'm going to do my best reading of my own poem. I'm not...
All right.
You know, I'm not really rehearsed in reciting this poem.
I think our audience understands.
Not monsters, martyrs, nor objects of horror. We, your slaves, you love to hate, transmogrified from the lowest gutter to the very height of honor. Our triumphant revenge so completely justified, to break your dreadful spirit, we are most gratified. With pleasure, we show you your abject destiny. We, the many multitudes, joyously electrified at the unanimous thought of universal mutiny against your arrogance and heartless deviltry. heavenly engines of retribution idling? The sea of angelic heroes rising in immensity? No merciful love for you shall come meddling in the sufferings of hell wherefore you must reflect. Your sobbing cries for mercy with laughter we reject. Now, I don't think that I read that very well.
I should have paused after the last line because for a moment I thought you were continuing to...
Well, no, it's only 14 lines.
Yes. Well, you're listening to the Ask Dr. Hal Show live on Radio Valencia. We are through with Friday and now starting to enjoy Saturday here in the city of fine music. Stay with us until the top of the hour and then we'll see you again a week from now. Notwithstanding acts of God or the devil, which may prevent that from happening. Hence, loathed melancholy of Cerberus and blackest midnight born in Stygian cave, forlorn midst horrid shapes and shrieks and sights unholy. Find out some uncouth cell where brooding darkness spreads his jealous wings and the night raven sings. There, amid ebon shades and low-browed rocks as ragged as thy locks, in dark Cimmerian desert ever dwell. But come, thou goddess, fair and free, in heaven ye clept euphrosyne, and by men heart-easing mirth, that lovely Venus at her birth, with two sister graces more, to ivy-crowned Bacchus bore. Or whether, as some sagers sing, the frolic wind that breathes the spring, Zephyr with Aurora playing, as he met her once a-maying, there on beds of violets blue and fresh-blown roses washed in dew, filled her with thee, a daughter fair, so buxom, blithe, and debonair. Haste thee, nymph, and bring with thee jest and youthful jollity, cranks and quips and wanton wiles, nods and becks and wreathed smiles, such as hang on Hebe's cheek, and love to live in dimples sleek. Sport that wrinkled care derides, and laughter holding both his sides. Come and trip it as ye go on the light fantastic toe, and in thy right hand lead with thee the mountain nymph, sweet Liberty. Or if I give thee honor due, Mirth, admit me of thy crew, to live with her and live with thee in unreproved pleasures free. To hear the lark begin his flight, and singing startle the dull night from his watchtower in the skies, ere the dappled dawn doth rise. There to come, in spite of sorrow, and at my window bid good morrow, through the sweet briar or the vine, or the twisted eglantine, while the cock with merry din scatters the rear of darkness thin, and to the stack or the barn door proudly struts his dames before. Oft listening how the hounds and horn clearly rouse the slumbering morn from the side of some hoar hill, through the high wood echoing shrill. Sometime, walking, not unseen, by hedgerow elms on hillocks green, straight against the eastern gate, where the great sun begins his state, robed in flames and amber light, the clouds in thousand liveries dight, while the ploughman, close at hand, whistles o'er the furrowed land, and the milkmaid singeth blithe, and the mower whets his scythe, and every shepherd tells his tale under the hawthorn in the dale. Straight mine eyes have caught new pleasures, whilst the landscape round it measures russet lawns and fallows grey, where the nibbling flocks do stray. Mountains, on whose barren crest the labouring clouds do often rest. Meadows trim with daisies pied, shallow brooks and rivers wide, towers and battlements it sees, bosomed high in tufted trees, where, perhaps, some beauty lies, the cynosure of neighboring eyes. Hard by, a cottage chimney smokes from betwixt two aged oaks, where Corydon and Thyrsis met, are at their savory dinner set with herbs and other country messes, which the neat-handed Phyllis dresses, and then in haste her bower she leaves with Festalus to bind the sheaves. Or if the earlier season lead to the tanned haycock in the mead, sometime in secure delight the upland hamlets may invite, when the merry bells ring round and the jocund rebecks sound, to every youth and many a maid dancing in the checkered shade, whilst young and old come forth to play on a sunshine holy day, till the livelong daylight fail. Then to the spicy nut-brown ale, with stories told of many a feat, how Fairy Mab the junkets eat. She was pinched and pulled, she said, while he, by friar's lantern led, tells how the drudging goblin sweat to earn his cream bowl duly set. When, in one night, ere glimpse of morn, his shadowy flail hath threshed the corn that 10-day laborers could not end, then lies him down, the lubber fiend, and stretched out all the chimney's length, basks at the fire his hairy strength. Then, crop full, out of doors he flings, ere the first cock his matin rings. Thus done the tales, to bed they creep, by whispering winds, soon lulled asleep. Towered cities please us then, and the busy hum of men, where throngs of knights and barons bold in weeds of peace high triumphs hold, with store of ladies whose bright eyes reign the influence and judge the prize of wit or charm, which all contend to win her grace, whom all commend. There let Hymen oft appear in saffron robe, with taper clear, with pomp and feast and majesty, with mask and antique pageantry. Such sights as youthful poets dream on summer eves by haunted stream. Then to the well-trod stage anon, if Jonson's learned sock be on, or sweetest Shakespeare, fancy's child, warble his native wood notes wild. And ever, against eating cares, lap me in soft Lydian airs, married to immortal verse, through which the meeting soul must pierce, in notes with many a winding bout of linked sweetness, long drawn out. With wanton heed and giddy cunning, the melting voice through mazes running, untwisting all the chains that tie the hidden soul of harmony. That Orpheus' self might heave his head from golden slumber on a bed of heaped Elysian flowers, and hear such notes as, falling on the ear of Pluto, would have quite set free his half-regained Eurydice. These delights, if thou canst give, mirth with thee, I mean to live. Then a crumb on his beard, which he yet has neglected to swallow, when he finds it, to flick down his wide-opened gorge, then the rest of his feast we will follow. And we owe all that lives our allegiance, our close friends and distant relations, not to side with that part of the universe which blindly devours its creations. AM here on the West Coast.
Same we dream of fever. The force that drives the water through the rocks drives my red blood, that dries the mouthing streams, turns mine to wax. And I am dumb to tell the mouthing streams that from the mountains spring, the same mouth sucks. The hand that whirls the water in the pool, stirs the quicksand, that ropes the blowing wind, hauls my shroud sail. And I am dumb to tell the hanging man how of my clay is made the hangman's line. The lips of time leech to the fountainhead. Love drips and gathers, and the fallen blood shall calm her sores. And I am dumb to tell the weather's wind how time has ticked a heaven round the stars. And I am dumb to tell the lover's tomb how at my sheet goes the same crooked worm. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the last redoubt of the lore of the West. I, Dr. Howland Owl, am here before you. And now, for the remainder of the duration of our time, we shall engage in that interactive salon, which is the hallmark of these presentations. And I'm hoping it'll be a good show, but of course that isn't entirely dependent on me, only mostly because of your questions, which are the engine that drive us forward.
Yes.
So you've covered the nuts and bolts, the screws, the washers, and so forth, of how everything is done. So no one could possibly make a mistake, since now they could do it in their sleep, right? That's the idea? Right. Well, let's hope they won't actually be asleep. In order to move a little forward, a little faster, I don't know if you managed to mention, for example, the side note. That's something we do.
Yes, we do side notes.
If we're yakking up here and you think we didn't cover the subject adequately, you can write down what you'd like added and put it on one of those little pieces of paper we give you gratis and have it come up to the desk, and well, then we do add it. You see, nothing and no one are left out. And then, of course, if you ask a question that we love inordinately, that we feel is in the exact and perfect spirit of the occasion, you get something from us. But a shot of Fernet Branca, the miracle liquid, dispensed by Ring Monster and bartender Chicken John. If you are exceptionally generous with the emolument, with the premium that you put inside the envelope for me, Dr. Howland Owl, then I will reward you suitably by an extension
freely without any form. Well, a lot of people think that's poetry, but I don't think it meets the mark. I think it often doesn't. So that's why I chose to write my poems with not merely the constraint of rhyme and meter, but also with the constraint of having this inheritance pattern. So I'm going to read The Last Raccoon's Mask.
Good, I was going to ask you whether you're going to
I'm going to read that, and then this may be, my phone's going to die, and all these poems are on my phone. So,
poems on the phone. Mask.
How did the raccoon
where the cantaloupe roam
come by her mask? His moon. Can you play something slower, like to go like along with what I'm playing? I don't mean to be rude, but I want to. If you, okay, you know, you can play it at any pace you want, but if you're playing at that pace, the raccoon's mask. How did the raccoon ever come by her mask?
Commission and the International Bureau of Demonology to satisfy radio standards and tyrants and practices act. Trying to be an appropriately proper broadcaster at KPFA 94.1 FM on your stereo dial, and there's no delay on KPFA.
We need your help. Bob needs your help.
And caller, have you ever heard anything the like?
Bob needs your help.
What are you doing listening to this show?
We need your help.
Most people are asleep. Why are you awake?
We need your help.
your help.
We need your help. Tell us why you're up.
Why you're up?
Yeah, I know. We know you're not somebody else. If you were asleep, we could be beaming furniture commercials into your head like everybody else. But you're up, and we want to know why.
When you're covered with busted furniture, you've been shoving at Arby furniture.
So, do you have any embarrassing problems?
RB Furniture. Fornicator.
No one knows who you are. RB
Furniture.
Bold and profligate and yet discreet and silent at the same time through the magic of radio.
Come on, come on, come on, come on home.
Tell us about your intimate
temples.
RB Furniture. Come on, tell us about those problems that are private, that lurk in your drawers or wherever. Come on, open those
when
drawers wide.
Piercing
blue noses of Inquisition.
RB Furniture brings you something new. RB Furniture.
Socks? Well, everybody has a few of those, fella. Just drop them in the laundry hamper and you'll be clean as the driven snow. Then they're holy, holy.
Sure about
and
any of
shout
this.
Hosannas to the skies. Make the welkin ring and the roof of heaven.
Washed in the blood of the Lamb.
Of the angelic host.
And the heavenly the arms shall you enfold. Among the saints you shall be seen performing on a harp of gold.
It takes a long time. You sit there sewing up a hole in a socks and you could be writing a symphony or making love to a beautiful woman.
And that's
about all of that.
I'm tending to agree more.
This recording will not repeat. Thank you.
What in the name of there's something mighty funny going on here. But this may be the best I can do.
Outside your atmosphere. Look to your son for a warning. Look
my son,
or
my beautiful star.
Meteorological disturbances will occur if you do not agree to our demands. People on Earth, attention. Send us a videotape.
Is that caller still there?
Yeah.
Well, what do you have to say to yourself?
It's just kind of interesting to hang out here.
You mean in air limbo?
Somewhere between the phone and the radio.
Do you miss puzzling evidence?
The world to hear their voice. Hear their voice.
What do you think of the Don Joyce, Mobius Rex, Dr. Howell show?
I don't know.
These people knew they would be recorded.
You don't even know that you're being recorded right now. What you say, your mumbling and meaningless meandering, will be broadcast at 3 p.m. in Texas. Thousands of people will hear you, so suck in that gut, stick out that chin, thumbs along the seams of the trousers. Stand tall for what you believe in, and give all to Bob. J.R. Bob Dobbs, the living avatar of the Church of the Subgenius. His face is the one big assembly of dots that shine in the dark. His grin is the one that's friendly, but so is the grin of the shark. He's Bob. Bob don't ever change. He's Bob. Always will be Bob. His pipe is the one with the dottle that rains on the roofs like fire. His neck is the one with the wattle inflaming your desire. He's Bob. Bob don't ever change. He's Bob. Always will be Bob. Bob had a woman named Connie. She was a righteous friend. She had lots of friends named Johnny when Bobby hit the trail. Bobby went up to heaven to fade Jehovah one. Bobby drew a straight seven, Jehovah he had none. He's Bob. Bob will never change. He's Bob. Always will be Bob. Bob wrote down to the devil who said, Bob, you better pray. Bob whang on his head with a shovel. He make that devil say, he's Bob. Bob don't ever change. He's Bob. Always will be Bob. But it was surely a sad day when Bob he came to town. He smiled and he waved on that bad day, but Wellman shot him down. He's Bob. Bob don't ever change. He's Bob. Always will be Bob.
More shares, learning how to buy and sell. He shunned the uncouth dives young Samuel frequented Bell Mell. No!
now I am worth $1 million. In no time, our Thomas cried. He got a statement from his broker, and he rushed to claim his bride. Your stock certificate's in order, and your capital is sound. So, Thomas, I am yours. My life's companion I have found. With my million and with you, I see my life's ambition crowned. But what of Samuel Sluggard, who had no industrious ways? In the reeking gin mill, even now he spends his days. By day he rots his soul with whiskey, and his fingers click the dice. At night he sleeps on filthy straw, with spiders, ticks, and lice. And up and down his shivering spine run 9 platoons of mice. If you do as Thomas Quick did, you will surely never fail. Now, children, to the point of my instructive moral tale. Thomas shall sport with angels, singing in the heavenly choir, while Samuel pops and sizzles, broiling in eternal fire. I have an illustrated tract for those who would inquire.
What a large amount of noise the rumbustious youths are having next door, dancing up a storm. But even as they burn their candles at both ends, giving a goodly light, here at the Ask Dr. Hal Show live on radio next door, we are going to close up shop. Having come to the end of another Bobcast day on listener-confounded-radio-valencia.fm. Of course, in addition to not being radio or on Valencia, this outfit is also not FM. But what are you going to do? You can't fight City Hall. You know, a little of this, a little of that. Anyway, as we view this often projected 16mm film of ducks bobbing on a pond, certain thoughts inevitably occur. For one thing, this film is underexposed, or maybe the film chain on the channel where they're showing it is defective, or maybe the entire enterprise is sodden with age, blasted with senility and antiquity. Be that as it may, it is the potential in everyone's life to grow old, and it is a privilege when one considers the alternative. And whether I am here with you for a little or for a lot, it is all temporary, since we are all only temporarily alive. And so, with this cheerful admonition in mind, let me ask if you would like to come and be on our show next week. I believe there is a show next week, barring acts of God or the devil. So tune in, turn on, and perhaps we'll have a guest turning this monologue into a welcome dialogue. We had K-Rob in the studio, but he was just popping in for a visit and never connected with the show itself. Such as it is, sad patchworks of remembered moments and joined together tropes, creating, we always hope, a synthesis which is something new under the sun, despite being composed of conspicuously elder elements. For so it is. Each molecule has been around since the beginning of time. Never doubt it. And now it is my duty and fate
to wish you good night and good morning.